Tonight, we continue on in our study and our target of Obadiah, and we've taken a look at the subject of Obadiah, and that is of Edom. Edom is the nation that came from the man Esau. He is Isaac's son, Jacob's brother. We understand that the nation of Israel came from Jacob. He is the father. He is the one given the name of Israel. And so, well that we go and take a look at this man and the nation that resulted from him, that we might have an understanding about this one chapter, a book, this prophecy of Obadiah and what it's aimed at and who it is aimed at, and the nation that is aimed at by the Lord. We don't know exactly when Obadiah lived, but we know that he lived and he prophesied before the end of the nation of Edom. And so we know that that's the case because the Lord would give the prophecy, not afterwards, it wouldn't be prophecy, but he would give it before. And so we know that. We took a look about different aspects of Esau's life. And what I have titled these messages is that there's no future for the faithless. No faith in God, in His words. There's no future for the faithless. And so if there is no faith in God, no faith in His words, there's no future in that. I have pointed out to you in these messages about Esau lived in Mount Seir. And this is an old map. And yes, it would be good to put it up on the screen with the projector. And one day, Lord willing, soon we will do that. But until then, I've got this old, crusty yellow map printed out for you here. And it's the best representation of Mount Seir and what's understood in the day. And I like the older maps. I think that we find that the older maps have a tendency to be more honest. Isn't that interesting? Now, one thing I'm going to give you a qualifier on this map is if you ever use it for anything else, don't use it for what it's saying happened down here in the Sinai Peninsula, because Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai, synonymous, they're not there. They're over here on the east of this Gulf of Aqaba, the two fingers of the Red Sea, the Gulf of Suez and the Gulf of Aqaba. This is the one that I've been referring, the one on the right, the Gulf of Aqaba. If we drew a line up to the Dead Sea, where it seemed like in days gone by there may have been water that flowed there, it does not now, as we understand it. But this sojourn of the wandering of Israel, somewhere along the line, it seems that there was a bill of goods that was sold that put Horeb and Sinai down here in the Sinai Peninsula. But the scripture is very clear that it's over here in Midian. And there's even those that have documented and discovered a mount over there that the Arabs want nobody going to, because you know what? One aspect of that mount is that it's burn up. It stands out totally different in the landscape from any other mountain and rock formation there. Because why? The Lord was in it with the holy burning of His righteousness. And that would be inconvenient for people to be able to see that. And so, nevertheless, you see here north of the Gulf of Aqaba, going up here towards the Dead Sea, you see the mountain range that is to the east, referred to as Mount Seir. And so as we understand it, that is the land given to Esau and the mount given to Esau. There used to be giants that lived there, and Esau drove them out. And we can see that as well south of the Dead Sea. We're going to have other references down here to this Elath that we're going to see that's down here on the Gulf with Solomon. And so this is the land of Edom, and we can see how it has it marked here. A couple other things that I want to point out to you is there to the left or to the west is the wilderness of Zin. The wilderness of Zin, we'll hear that referred to. And so it's kind of a sliver there going up. There's another valley of salt that is referred to. It's not noted here on this map, but if you take the Dead Sea, that first body of water going north from the Gulf of Aqaba, the Dead Sea, or the Sea of the Plain as it's listed here, right over here to the left is the Valley of Salt. Okay, right there about where it says Amorites, okay? Right there under the A and the M and the O to the east is the Valley of Salt. There we might have a reference to that. The wilderness of Shur is over here farther west on the way to Egypt. Okay? And we talked about it. We looked at the scriptures where it mentioned that Esau or Edom's borders were set by the Lord, and that the Lord would not give their land in the dividing of the land into Israel. The Lord would not give them any of that land because it was given to Esau. We began to look about when Esau was destroyed, or when Edom began to be destroyed, and we started and began to look about the prophecies regarding such, and then what happened regarding Saul, King Saul, and how when it seems that the line of demarcation in regards to hands off by Israel with Edom, when Israel became a nation with a king, then the fight was on. Okay, then the battle and the struggle was on. And so King Saul fought against the Edomites. And we also saw in 2 Samuel 8 that Brother David, King David, put garrisons in Edom. And so that was the beginning and the continuation of the stranglehold. It says there in 2 Samuel 8:14. That all they of Edom became David's servants. Then there's some other things that the scripture is going to tell us about that as we take a look at the work and what is done by other kings in Israel and in the divided kingdom, Israel and Judah. Okay? Then there's a reference here, and I'll read this to you. You can turn to it if you wish. 1 Chronicles 18, verse 11 through 13. Them also King David dedicated unto the Lord, talking about artifacts from different nations, with the silver and gold that he brought from all these nations, from Edom and from Moab. It was the spoils of war, and from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, and from Amalek. Moreover, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, and I believe that is David's nephew, slew of the Edomites in the Valley of Salt 18,000. So, I mean, they're not just skirmishing, they're battling, and Edom is suffering. Okay, we talked about and mentioned to you about there's contention. I mean, there's contention from the day of Jacob and Esau because of the things that went on with the birthright, the things that went on with the blessing, and all of that. And no doubt that was passed on to the children. And we mentioned how that people just being people, that the Edomites, no doubt, there would be some of the Edomites that would think, we just got Mount Seir. How is it that Jacob and his children get all the land of Canaan? I mean, that's just people being people. Even though the Lord had said what the place of Edom and Esau would be, his children would be. We also have seen about how it was that there were ruling kings in Edom well before Israel was even a nation. Okay, so they were advanced in that regard in their pursuit of that of being a nation. So we see about David. Let's begin to embark here about King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse number 26. And this is just a continuation. As there is continued dominance, David reigned 40 years, right? And Solomon reigned 40 years, if my memory serves me correctly. We see in 1 Kings 9, 1 Kings chapter 9, verse number 26, a reference here. And King Solomon made a navy of ships in Ezon Geber, which is beside Eloth. And so that was that reference down here at the very tip north of the Gulf of Aqaba. Okay, so that gives us hint about where Edom is, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. Okay, so we have that there. So Solomon is dominating. He's able to take them over. Evidently, there were men of Edom and of that region that were good at shipbuilding. And so they being dominated. And Hiram sent in the navy, his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea with the servants of Solomon. And so that has to do, this Hiram, I think, is from Tyre. And so they use this advantage, they use this seaport. This is the region of a notable seaport for Israel today. It was important for Israel to have a connection down there strategically, even in modern-day Israel. And so from there, what is it with when you have ships and you can sail the sea? Verse 28, they came from Ophir and fetched from thence gold, 420 talents, 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon. They're able to trade and sail and do all kinds of a trading exploit that way. We see the fault of King Solomon here, and we note this, and since we're close in 1 Kings chapter 11, and this was a fault of Brother Solomon, King Solomon, and listen to what it says. But King Solomon loved many strange women. That didn't mean that they were kooky or weird looking. That means they weren't to be his. Okay, so that word strange in the scripture is not talking about that they were dressed up like clowns or strangely built or anything like that. It's just they were not to be his. He loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites. And so he took these for his concubines and his wives. We see something noted here in verse number 14. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. And why? Why would there be an adversary? Because the way of Solomon was not pleasing the Lord. And this is Hadad, the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. And so this is a man of the royal line. Let's read on. For it came to pass when David was in Edom, so this is the time of Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, he's stirred up, and it's the Lord's doing. He is of the royal line in Edom. It came to pass when David was in Edom, talking about now we're in the past reign of David, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain after he had smitten every male in Edom. So in some of the fighting between Israel and Edom, Joab had taken the tactic in putting them down that they killed every male. Now, what do you think about the bitterness? What do you think about the turmoil? Right, wrong, or indifferent? We're not dealing with that. We know that the Lord had told them to conquer, and I think it could be debated. Should they have meddled with the Edomites rather than the inhabitants of Canaan? Okay, there might be an argument there because of what the Lord had told in the past. Nevertheless, they went, and Saul and David went after the Edomites. And this about them being their brethren was totally forgotten. And in that stratagem, Joab killed off every male in Edom. I mean, they were going to take the nation and put it down. And no doubt, what would that do to a nation? It would weaken them severely, wouldn't it? It would weaken them severely. We read about how Abishai slew 18,000 in battle. So he had smitten every male in Edom. Verse number 16, for 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel until he had cut off every male in Edom. So it was a six-month pursuit. That Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him, to go into Egypt. Okay, so to the west, Hadad being yet a little child. And so this is not only this is not the only account of a youngster being saved out of the hands of those that would want to see them dead. But the Lord knew his purpose and the Lord knew his work. And now this sole descendant and sole man of the kingly line is going to be a thorn in Solomon's side because Solomon has disobeyed the Lord. The Lord knows how to get the attention of everybody, whether it be sinners in need of Christ or his children that are wayward. And we need to remember that. Like the brother led us in the song, that's what the Lord's promised. Be not be dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you and me. And that's can be a good thing, provision and help, or he can take care of us like, you know, a parent would tell their child, when we get home, I'm going to take care of you. Right? Have you ever heard that before? I did a lot. And they rose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran. They came to Egypt under Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him a house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. So he took care of Hadad, and they had a common grudge against Israel, Egypt, and the Edomites did. Now, what I've done going forward, we're into the time now of the kings of the divided kingdom, and so there's references that we want to touch on that we just might understand this working and the strife between Edom and Israel, and in the case of the divided kingdom between Judah and Israel. And so now we've come to Jehoshaphat, the time of Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa. And what I've done for you is just to give you a point of reference here is Jehoshaphat is king of Judah, the divided kingdom, and he's 17th from the last king, okay, which puts him in the listing of a total of 20 kings, okay? So Judah has 20 kings after Solomon. Now, that divided kingdom, Judah, lasts a total of 393 years. I'm not expecting you to remember that. You can note that down if you want to. The northern kingdom, which we've talked about that here in somewhat recent times, about how Israel was taken into captivity in our study of other prophets, the northern 10 tribes, they only lasted 237 years. So 237 up against 393. So roughly a 160-year difference. Okay, so that'll just be the figure we'll use, 150, 160 years that Judah lasted longer. The southern kingdom lasted longer. So we're in the time of Jehoshaphat. He's 17th from the last of the kings of Judah, 307 years to go after his reigning. In 1 Kings 22, verse 47, it says, "There was then no king in Edom, a deputy was king." So that was the hold that Judah still has. Even in the time of the divided kingdom, Solomon has passed, the kingdom's been divided between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and 10 tribes to the north for Jeroboam, Rehoboam, they die, and then there's these other kings after them. And so Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. There's still a stranglehold on Edom, and there's no king there. There's just a deputy. There's an appointee, okay, there. And so there's the point that we want to see is that Judah is controlling Edom. We come to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. And here we have an account that Jehoshaphat is with Jehoram, the son of Ahab. And you remember Ahab. Ahab was a no-count king ruling out of Samaria, and he was the king of Israel, okay, the northern 10 tribes. And he was sorry. The Lord dealt with him. He was a murderer. His wife was none other than Jezebel. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, he's a man, he wants to try to get along. I think he's got an idea, try to get the kingdom back together. And it's a study all in and of itself about Jehoshaphat and what results from his fellowshipping with the kings of Israel. Remember, the testimony of the Lord for all the kings of Israel is, they walked after Jeroboam, and they did that which was evil. Without fail, every single king. But Jehoshaphat, he meddled with them. And so Jehoram is a son of Ahab, and 2 Kings chapter 3 tells us about that. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Okay, so this son of Ahab, which made Israel to sin, he departed not therefrom. And so that's the testimony of all the kings of Israel. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master. Okay, so that's one of Lot's sons. And on this map, you'll see the land of Moab right there to the east of the southern part of the Dead Sea, or the Sea of the Plain. And it says, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So the king of Israel is coming down from the north and exercising authority over Moab. Okay, and you can see that's over there. It's to the south of and to the east of Judah. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. So Jehoshaphat said, yeah, I'll go with you. I am as thou art. My people is thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Now, you know, again, it's a study for another time, but Jehoshaphat needed to watch who he meddled with. And the reason is Jehoshaphat could handle it. He really could. But you know what happened? His children didn't handle it. They saw everything as the same. But anyway, enough of that. And so he said, we'll fight just like we're yours. And he said, verse 8, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. So now we see here that this deputy, the one that's put in authority, because what we read there in 1 Kings 22, it's an appointee of the king of Israel, but he's there. And they fetched a compass 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them in the hand of Moab. And it's not a question, it's an exclamation. And so here, the king of Israel is acting like he knows what the Lord's thinking is, and he wants to go over here and get Moab back under his control. And so he asked Jehoshaphat how to go. He said, well, let's go down here through the land of, go south and go through the land of Edom, and we'll come up and do a sneak attack. And he said, look, we're down here, and we're going to die from thirst. Three kings. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. He said, let's go to Elisha. And so, which we know about Elisha, right? And we know about Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So see about his spiritual understanding. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him, to Elisha. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? So he speaks to the king of Israel, said, what are you doing here? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And so that's Ahab and Jezebel. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regarded the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. So, I mean, you got quite a contrast between these two kings and the man of God and his opinion about it. Jehoshaphat should have listened to that. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, on Elisha, and he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, for thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. Because this is a great procession that's going to do this battle. I mean, they've got the army and all the support and all the food that's on the hoof. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward, and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And the Lord used that reflection off of the water to give them, make them fear. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab, to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they beat down the cities on every good piece of land, cast every man his stone, and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water, and felled all the good trees. Only in Kir Hareseth left they stones there thereof, howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering, which is abominable, isn't it, upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned into their own land. And so here we see this confederacy and how they went through the land of Edom, and the king of Edom is there, but subject to the king of Judah indeed. And they have this conquering of Moab. Then we come to 2 Kings 8, 2 Kings chapter 8. And now we've moved on to the next king. And you know what Jehoshaphat named his son? The same thing that Ahab had named his son. Jehoram. And talking about confusion, that gets confusing when two different realms are naming their sons the same. But that has to do, it seems, with the desire of Jehoshaphat for unity. But, you know, for those that are rebels against the Lord, appeasement will never work. Just got to mark that down. Appeasement will never work for rebels against God. And And you know, it's a fine line that we find in our day, that we need to represent what's right. As I preached last week, we need to have all things filled with love, with legs on it. We need to understand that those that are rebellious against God, they cannot be appeased. And may the Lord help us in our land to know the balance of those things. So here, now Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, is who we're dealing now. He's the 16th king from the last. 300 years to go in the kingdom of Judah. And we read here in 2 Kings 8, so his daddy took the king of Edom, the regent, the appointed man of Edom, and went to do this fight. But now, with his son, we see this. 2 Kings 8, verse number 16. And in the fifth year of Joram, let me make sure I'm getting in the right place. In the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, and his name's a little different there, same fella regarding that, Jehoshaphat being then king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab. So just in one generation, this man, named the same as the king of Israel, began to walk in that way. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and that's some of the subject. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. There was mingling between the lines amongst the kings. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David his servant's sake, as he promised him, to give him always a light and to his children. And in his days, Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves. So here we see there's a rising up. Disobedience, just like Solomon had Hadad, the Lord used Edom in regards to the king of Judah. And so Jehoram went over to Zair with all the chariots with him, and he rose by night and smote the Edomites which compassed him about, and the captains of the chariots. And the people fled into their tents, yet Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. So when this is written, when this account is written, which seems to be sometime after that revolt happened, the writer is declaring it's still that way. Edom has broke loose from Judah because of the sins of the king. Then Libna revolted at the same time, speaking about another land. 2 Chronicles 21:5, if you're taking notes, speaks about the same thing, the Edomites revolting from the hand of Judah. Then we come on down the line. Jehoram is that 16th king from the last in Judah. And then lastly tonight, we'll take a look at this, Amaziah, 12th king from the end for the divided kingdom of Judah. 223 years to go in that realm. And we see this in 2 Kings 14 regarding their interaction. So there's this strife. There's this conquering by Judah of Edom and oppressing them. And what do they naturally do? They want to rise up. David, Joab, they had looked to kill all the males in Edom. And so there's just continual bitterness and building and bitterness between them. And hatred between them. We see here in 2 Kings 14, let's go to verse number 5. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. And so verse number 1 tells us who. Came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants, which had slain the king his father. And so that's another subject. But the children of the murderers he slew not, according to that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children nor the children be put to death for their fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. He slew of Edom in the valley of Salt 10,000. And so that, remember that valley of Salt that I'd referred to, southeast of the Dead Sea, and took Selah by war and called the name of it Jokathiel unto this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us look one another in the face. And Jehoash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter and my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. Hast thou indeed smitten Edom, and thine heart had lifted thee up? Glory of this, and tarry at home, for why shouldest thou meddle to thy hurt that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? So because of this advantage and this success that he had in going down there and smiting Edom, he made a call to Israel and said, you come on out here and let's fight too, because I think I'm just going to take you over. And so we'll not go on to deal with that, but we see the continued conquering of Edom by the kings of Judah. Let's do this. I told you it'd be the last one, but let's go ahead and go to Second Chronicles 28, and this is the last king of Judah that we'll see having quarrel and conquest with Edom. Second Chronicles 28, and then we'll move on to the next phase of this. Back and forth, struggling under the arm and the dominance of Judah. Edom revolting and freeing themselves because of the sin of the kings of Judah. So we come here to 2 Chronicles 28. Let's read it, verse number 16. At that time did King Ahaz. Now King Ahaz is ninth from the last, 139 years to go. So now Israel's been taken into captivity. Israel's gone. Judah stands alone. Okay? Remember, there's a 150-year difference in the time and length of the kingdom of Israel than there is the kingdom of Judah. And so this has come on down to where Israel is gone. Israel has been taken off into captivity and dealt with by Assyria, the Syrians, all that. They're gone. They're mingled. They've got a mess up there that results in Samaria. And so Ahaz is the king. At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him. For again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. So not only now is Edom freeing themselves, but now, because of the sin of the nation and the sin of the southern tribes and the sin of the kings and the sins of the people, now Edom is becoming an oppressor themselves. They've lived, in spite of all of the dominance by Judah and the kings before, all the way back to King Saul and King David, King Solomon, Edom has risen up, and now they're going up there and they're taking Judites, those of Judah, captive, and they're gaining a foothold. They'd come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. Verse number 18, the Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country in the south of Judah and taken Beth Shemesh and Ajalon and Gedi-Roth and Shoko, right? We've got a Shoko down the road, don't we? With the villages thereof, and Timnah with the villages thereof, Gimzo also with the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. They're taking over. They're gaining ground, these enemies. Verse 19, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. So not only is it so for Edom, but it's so for anyone, a child of God, or those that are without saving faith in the Lord. There's no future for faithlessness. There's no future for faithlessness. If we as the children of God don't believe our Lord and what He has said, we're going to have problems. We're going to have enemies. We're going to have things rise up that we never thought would rise up. We need to believe and trust our Lord and what He said and live for Him from this day forward. And those like Esau that took no account of the Word of God ever, the promises of the Lord ever, it was never important to him. It was never anything that was important to him or that he thought that he should follow and pursue. Look what he did. Generations of children. Generations of children of one man going down the pit of despair and depravity and wickedness. Because there's no future for the faithless. There's no future for those that have no faith in God and what He has said. Lord willing, next time we'll begin to take a look at the end of Edom as a nation. This last point that we see here with Ahaz, King Ahaz, is that the Edomites are rising up and they're actually taking captives and taking over ground. But you know what? There's one that comes in that puts an end to that. And it seems like that the result of that is no longer is that nation known as Edom. But we have this reference of Idumea. Now, it's one and the same, Esau, Edom, Idumea. They're all talking about the same man and his children and that. But Idumea seems to be the reference, taking it from being a nation that would be sovereign and have its own government as it had for hundreds of years previous, even before Israel was a nation, now is a people that is just, they're wandering. They occupy a region. It's almost like they become nomads. Because why? They are finally dominated and as a nation are destroyed. And so, Lord willing, next time we'll take a look at that. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is. Without faith in the Lord, there is no future. You need Him. We point you to Him. The command of the Lord unto you is to repent and believe in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.